Hey everybody, welcome to Nothing But Sports Podcast. This is Alex and Jesse. We're going to report a little bit about some Major League Baseball news, some NBA news, a little bit about the ESPYs, about Stuart Scott and his Jimmy V Award, and we'll talk a little bit about the British Open Championship, how Rory McIlroy is domination.
Yeah, slow week in sports.
Very slow week in sports. I'm sure if you were not a baseball fan, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday were very, very boring.
Yeah, no luck at all. I had to go to WNBA.
Yeah, so Jesse decided to do some WNBA betting. And so, Jesse, how did that go?
It went all right. You know, I got a streak win by taking Candace Parker with the, you know, LA. So that was actually a good game. She took over like she was Kobe Bryant.
Well, hey, Candace is a great player.
Yeah. Really good player. They were down 10 in the first half, and then she just came out and just put up like 30-something points after that.
Yeah, most definitely. Yes. You know, when I watched a little women's college basketball when she played at UConn, she was domination in that league. So definitely going to be a star player in the WNBA here going forward.
For sure.
So in Major League Baseball news, Derek Jeter had his final All-Star game, and boy, was that a great thing to watch. Right after the All-Star game, Derek Jeter had an interview with Tim Kirchen, and right after that, this is what he had to say.
Derek, we're a long way from New York, but these fans and these players all cheered for you tonight. How does this make you feel?
It makes me feel great. I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, baseball, the fans have been great to me my entire career, whether we're at home or on the road, and you appreciate moments like this, and this is definitely something I'll remember.
What was Adam Wainwright doing at the beginning when he put his glove on the rubber? What were you thinking at that point?
Well, I mean, I appreciate what he did. You know, then I'm trying to get the game started. I didn't want to make it uncomfortable for anyone, but I appreciate that. It's a class act by a class guy, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to experience this last All-Star game.
Kind of said something like he grooved one to you in the first inning. Is that okay if he did that?
That's fine. So please tell everyone else to continue to groove one to me. You know, I never faced Adam. He's a wonderful pitcher. Utmost respect for him. And like you say, he's just trying to throw a strike.
They brought Bob Shepard here just for you. How did that make you feel?
It's great. You know, I had that idea to record his voice a few years back before the old stadium closed, and I thought it was a great touch by MLB.
Two more hits for you, both to right field. You're now the oldest guy ever to have a multi-hit game in the All-Star game. How does that make you feel?
I still feel young, though, Tim. I mean, I know I'm getting up there in age, but I'm a kid at heart.
Last thing, a week from now, a year from now, when you take in what this was all about tonight, what will you take away?
Well, I enjoy All-Star games. You know, I enjoy getting to know guys that you normally don't get a chance to talk to. I mean, these are the greatest players in the world, and what these guys do day in and day out is not easy to do, and I have an appreciation for all of them.
Derek, thanks so much, and thank you for 20 great years.
Derek Jeter, what a classy guy that he is. I mean, many years of baseball experience. So Jesse, how would you react to his statement there?
As a blessing, you know, he played, he's 40. He played for years, you know what I mean? Same franchise, organization. He had a good game. And, you know, he's walking away happily.
Yeah, about 19 years, almost 20 years, Derek Jeter's been in the major leagues. I mean, that 40 years old, I mean, fantastic.
Yeah, and he has a ton of respect. I mean, even in that Jordan commercial, it was about him, but it was about other celebrities, athletes, Michael Jordan himself, like, tipping their hats off to him and a sign of respect.
Yeah, I had no idea he was with Jordan until that commercial came out. Like, wait, hold on, what's this? Why is Jordan in this?
Yeah, exactly, you know? So, I mean, I know Jeter's probably got money in the bank already, but if he's sponsored by Jordan, that's more money coming in for him. Oh, and Jordan himself, obviously, he know what he's doing. He's signing all these upcoming players.
Yeah, most definitely. So just to give a little stats of Derek Jeter's career, I mean, what a career he has had so far with the New York Yankees. He's had about 3,410 hits. I mean, fantastic. That comes with 258 home runs in his career. I mean, a batting average of 311. I mean, for 19 years to have a batting average of 311, that says something in the Major League Baseball.
It sure does, man. That's why I say it's a blessing.
Most definitely. Also in the All-Star game, you might have seen Mike Trout win the MVP award at the All-Star game. And man,
that guy's on fire, man.
He is the man. No question. He's going to be the future of baseball for sure and for the Angels here. So after that All-Star game, we had a clip here where Mike Trout sat down and talked about winning that MVP award and what car did he choose.
What does it mean to you to be the MVP of the All-Star game in Derek Jeter's final All-Star game?
Oh, it's something special. Just to be here with him in the clubhouse with all the great teammates, all the great guys, and you know, take the MVP home. Yeah, he got two hits. You know, he's can't take anything away from him. But yeah, I'm happy to receive this, and yeah, I can't thank him enough for what he's done to the game, and for me growing up, you know, watching him. And he's you know, I try to emulate and his swing and just whatever he does on the field, how he respects the game. It's something special.
So, what was it like for you in the first inning? He hits a double, and then you hit a triple to drive in one of your idols. What was that like?
It was something special. I can't really explain the feeling, you know, the adrenaline, the chills. You know, I got on third base and yeah, I just thought about it for, you know, what just happened there. And, you know, it means a lot to me.
You're 22 years old. You've been in three All-Star games and now you're the second youngest MVP to Ken Griffey Jr. ever. I mean, really, how great is it being Mike Trout these days?
It's awesome. I can't complain. I love my life right now. I can't thank my parents enough for raising me the right way, you know, keep my head on straight. And, you know, my friends back home, friends and family back home for keeping me humble and keep my head on straight. And my teammates, for sure. You know, I wouldn't be here without them. Can't thank them enough.
And you won a really cool car. Did you have a choice between the little car and the truck, and you chose the little car? How did that work?
Yeah, I got a choice. You know, I got my dad a truck a couple weeks ago, so I had to pick the car. You know, it's something special. You know, Dino, our bench coach, he loves Corvettes, and you know, now that I got one, I'm gonna have to race him. So,
Mike, thanks so much.
So, Mike Trout wins that MVP award, and man, only at the age of 22 did he win the MVP award of that All Star game. And man, does he have a future with the Angels?
Yeah, man, many years more to come. You know. And because of him, I've been picking him on my picks, man. They've been coming through.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, if you look at that Angels lineup, my goodness, with Trout and Hamilton and Pujols, and man, it's ridiculous. You don't see, you know, it's their pitching staff that hurts them a little bit. You know, their offense, they're going to score, no question.
Yeah.
My goodness. Trout, amazing player. I mean, just to give you a little insight on him, he's been in the major leagues for about 4 years now. Since 2011, being drafted by the Los Angeles Angels, he already has 509 hits already within 4 years. 84 home runs, 100 doubles already. I mean, that just shows how quick he is. It's fantastic. So the guy on base percentage is .403. That in itself explains how talented this guy is. And in that All-Star game, he went 2-for-3. With a run, a double, and a triple with two RBIs. And man, like he said, he got to bring home Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
His idol when he was growing up.
And you can see the expression on his face. He was all smiles when he was saying it.
Yep, definitely.
And teams, you know, every time I watch the Angels play, I end up seeing him hit a home run. Trout, that is. So these teams that's playing against LA Angels, they need to start walking him or something, you know, because he's like, he's putting up points for him, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah,
walking him, let me tell you, he already has 239 walks.
See?
In 4 years already. In 4 years. That's an average of 59 walks a season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a bit of walks. But the stat that really pops out on people is his stolen base. I mean, he averages about 24 stolen bases a season.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this year already he's got 10. So I can see him him going and getting that 24 right away. So
for sure, man.
He's got the speed. Mike Trout's an overall great player, hitter, fielder, base stealer. He's got it all. And if you needed that guy to start your franchise with, this is the guy I would say is your first round guy no matter what.
Yep.
All right, and other baseball news, we'll talk a little bit here about Angels went out and talked to the Padres and said, you know what, let's bring in Houston Street.
Yeah. See, guys, remember how Alex was going off on the Phoenix Suns draft? And as he stated, he is a San Diego fan. How do you feel about that, man? How do you feel?
Oh,
just let it out, man.
It's just ridiculous. Well, I mean, as a Padre fan, you, especially with the market and salary cap that the Padres have, they can't go out and get that big-time player because they don't have the money. They don't. So they got to do a lot of homegrown players and bring them up fast. So their minor league system has to grow very quickly and get better. And honestly, right now with the Padres, they have one of the best minor league systems in Major League Baseball. But the problem with having the best minor league system out there is your major league team struggles. The Padres have a little issues bringing up young guys and putting them into the big leagues and start playing. I mean, this is the first year that I'm seeing that they're finally bringing some guys up just to test them out and see how they would play. And man, there's some guys like Despaña and guys that are coming up that are hitting the ball very well and pitching the ball very well. They're going to get there, but I think this Houston Street thing, getting rid of him, the best, to me, the best closer right now in the National League. The guy, every time he gets a chance to get a save, the guy gets it. His percentage rate on it, it's amazing. I mean, the guy today, he has 24 saves out of 25 opportunities with a 1.09 ERA. I mean, out of 25 save attempts, you get all of them except one. You blew one of them. Any team would love to have that. And the Angels going out and getting him, man, Angels are going to be a threat now with that bullpen. Angels already had Smith coming in, making the saves. They got rid of Ernesto Fieri and got Jason Grilly. So now they're picking up some guys in that bullpen, getting down the stretch. They have some relievers. So, I mean, Angels are a team to look out for. But with the Padres, honestly, it was just getting rid of Street, getting six players, minor league players, build that system again. But this has been the story of the Padres, I mean, every year. Every year. I'm telling you, to be a San Diego fan, it's a little tough. But, you know, you have players like Adrian Gonzalez. He was the man in San Diego for a while. Then they got rid of him, went to the Dodgers. Then you really didn't have anyone. Then Chase Headley becomes now the main guy, but he had one good year and now just falling off the earth. So paying him all that money for really nothing in that lineup. So, I mean, I give credit to the Padres for going out and having pretty much, I mean, one of the best bullpens and starters in the National League. But when you don't have the bats, it's hard to win games. You can keep teams to 1, 2, 3 runs a game. But if your bats don't wake up and you're only hitting, you know, getting one run or zero runs every game, you're going to lose every game. So I think it hurts. It hurts. But, you know, they gotta build in the draft and get the young players up quick. But they're in a GM change. You know, they're going out there and looking for that new owner. Help out. Help out. And there's rumors that Kevin Towers from the Diamondbacks is possibly in that return again. Even we know that Kevin Towers was with the Padres for many years and then went to Arizona and now possibly might come back, which I say, Kevin Towers, please stay in Arizona. we need to get someone new. Let's get someone new, build something. Someone's passionate for this game. That's my little thing about the Padres. But, you know, I just hope one of these years before I go on this earth, that I can see a World Series win by the San Diego Padres. I mean, when I was young, when I watched guys like Tony Gwynn and Steve Young and Ken Caminiti, and that was the team right there. I mean, with Bochy as your manager, that was a great team. But ever since that era, it's just fallen off and has not been able to recover. So the Padres are always that selling team. They're never the buying team anymore. And it's going to take a while to grow, but you got to get people in the office. You got to get people in your coaching staff that want to win and get them going.
Sure. All right. So with the NBA, it just talks about Andrew Wiggins and Bennett being traded for Kevin Love.
That's right. Kevin Love back on the table.
Man, I think on that, if it goes through, man, I think it probably would benefit both players, because Wiggins, the first round pick, he's like one of the top stars coming into the draft. He should want to go to a team where they could build around him, and he becomes that guy. For him to stay in Cleveland, even though he's a first round pick and he has all this talent, he's still like under other people's wings, like LeBron James, Kyrie. Those are going to be the guys. You know what I mean? And for him, obviously we haven't seen all three of them play together. So, you know, one of them, I don't know if he's the type of player who just wants the ball, wants to be a threat or not. But I think it would benefit both. And I know Kevin Love wants to go to a team that's can possibly win. I mean, going to Cavs, I mean, they weren't really a winning team. But with LeBron going back and Kyrie, you know, that's two right there. With Kevin going over there, that'll be like their big three.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a young team and guys that can score. That's the thing. Guys that can score the ball. You know, and Kevin Love right now, he's at the place, right, where he's like, well, I was thinking about go to the Golden State Warriors, or I could go to the Cleveland. But, you know, both those teams are at a standstill with two young players that they don't know if they really want to give up.
Yeah.
And you got Golden State, they don't want to give up Klay Thompson in a deal. And then you got Cleveland that doesn't want to give up possibly Andrew Wiggins. However, the owner of Cleveland did say, okay, well, we'll think about it. And LeBron now, of course, is in talks with Kevin Love. So I can see Wiggins leaving. But, you know, I think Cleveland, they should go after Love. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
LeBron's there now. They need to win now.
Yeah.
And Andrew Wiggins, great player. Great. I mean, he's young. He's going to develop into a star.
For sure.
But with LeBron there now, you got to win now. And just like he did with Miami, with Wade and Bosch, you got to get that other guy in there, the rebound, the score. I think Love is a perfect fit. If Love goes to Cleveland, man, we're going to have a great East Conference with Indiana. And,
yeah, man.
And now I think Washington Wizards getting some Paul Pierce.
Yeah, for sure. And on top of that, if Love goes, now they got three guys. If one of those, like two out of three of them have an off night, that one person could take over the game, because they all have done it individually. Kyrie has done it. Obviously, LeBron has done it. And obviously, Love has done it in Minnesota. So, I mean, that's going to be beautiful for them. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, you know, and Kevin Love, best overall big man and three-point shooter. I mean, overall player in general. Yeah.
He can put it inside. He can stretch the floor. The guy can do it all.
Yeah. So I definitely think it's a great fit for Cleveland. I mean, if you look at that lineup, if you get Kevin Love, you got Kyrie, LeBron, Love, got Vergeau down low. I mean, you got a pretty good four right there, you know, and you can get DJ, you can get Waiters come up, get him to do something, Tristan Thompson, and they got some young guys that they could mold. Yeah, and in other free agency news, we have Dwight Howard. Wow, he popped up in the news. for him not being traded to another team or anything, but him, of course, with his mouth, comes in and says, you know what, us Rockets, we're okay without Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, and I don't know about that, man. Parsons made the team go to himself last year. And on top of that, why would you say that about a guy who, you know, helped you decide where you should have came last year?
Exactly. And it's a little selfish. I mean, like he said, it's himself and James. And he says, we have the best center and the best two guard in the game on the same team. It's on us. Well, I'm sorry, but in Houston, Chandler Parsons was your guy, your third wheel there that, I'd say, kept everything together. And when James was cold and when Howard was cold, Parsons was there to pick it up. And then James and Howard can do something in the fourth quarter. So I think Chandler Parsons was, to me, one of the best signings in free agency besides, besides LeBron, of course.
Yeah, and I think the Mavs got a steal off the free agency pick right there.
Oh, man.
And for, you know, Houston not even to match that, you know, like Parsons, he came out and said it, like, it's a disrespect to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and this guy, I mean, Parsons can do it all. You know what I mean? He could play D. He could drive it. He could shoot it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, he made the team go, and I don't know why they didn't try to match him or anything, match for him.
Yeah, I was very surprised. Right after Dallas made that offer, a day later, Houston comes out and goes, no, sorry, we're not going to match. But the main reason was because Houston was going after Chris Bosh at that time. And Chris Bosh loved the offer. He wanted to go to Houston. But then out of nowhere, just out of the blue, all of a sudden he got a huge contract and said, all right, yeah, you know what? I'm going back to Miami with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, so, he's already got a house there.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. You know what I mean? That's for sure.
Yeah, and that hurt him. Man, did that hurt Houston. They gave up Jeremy Lin. Lin goes off to the Lakers. They're freeing up cap space. They let Parsons go. So Houston didn't pick up anybody. All they did was just release people and hope to get Chris Bosh. But then when Bosh went away, man, they were struggling just to pick people up. So the comments that Howard comes out here and says this, you know, again, he's talking just like when he was doing in L.A.
Yeah.
Just talking about him and Kobe. But it's the same way. We know in the NBA now it's not just two people. You have to have at least three people that are great players that can do it all and create and score.
Yeah, and create plays for other players. And and the Spurs exposed that last year.
Yeah.
Big time.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, Chandler Parsons got you that double-digit points. I mean, he's a double-double player, I say, in my opinion, an everyday player. And he's young. And, I mean, man, and then if you look at the Dallas Mavericks lineup now, it's ridiculous. I mean, with Ellis and Dirk and Parsons, now they just got Chandler back.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean,
they're going to be a tough matchup next year for sure.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, well, Houston, when you play Dallas, how are you going to match up now? You don't have anyone to match up. You're going to have Dwight down low, right? But who's going to get Dirk? That's going to be the question now.
Yeah.
Because Parsons was that guy.
Yeah, he has the length to do it too.
Yeah. So I don't understand. I mean, Parsons averaged about 18 points a game. Like 18 points a game, 7 boards a game. So again, almost that double-double machine. And he played a lot of minutes. I mean, the guy played 40-plus minutes.
Yeah, and he was one of the players that was on their roster that other coaches had to worry about when they were playing the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just about, you know, James Harden and Dwight. It was, you got to worry about Parsons too, because he can do it.
Yep, definitely. So I see Dallas really looking good. Dallas making some great moves, but Houston not doing so well there. But I mean, the comments again with Dwight. So pretty much, if you're a Houston fan, you hear Dwight Howard already talking. I don't know.
You probably became less of a fan.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see. But I don't know. The addition, though, with Trevor Ariza, though, going to Houston, they keep saying, oh, well, that will help us with the 1-2 punch. You know, Ariza can knock down that three. But Ariza, again, is not that overall player like Parsons was. So you're missing the rebounding again, which I guess Howard is saying, I can add 5-plus rebounds more now if that happens.
But he's putting some pressure on himself to perform better.
Exactly. So he needs to step up now. And again, we'll see if his words talk the talk when we move on to the next season.
Yeah. Can't wait to see that.
Oh, yeah. So also, Miami Heat, they seem like they're keeping all their guys. They're going out there and re-signing. So Pat Riley knows what he's doing here. He went out and got Wade, went out and got Bosch, and even Haslam now is coming back, which I think Haslam gelled a little bit off that bench for Miami.
Yeah, and I don't even know why he wasn't even playing much last year. That's what threw me off. I was questioning myself, like, why isn't he playing? The year before when he played the Spurs in the final, he was in there, and he was playing well for them. Mm-hmm. And then this year, I mean, the year that just passed, I don't know what happened. Like, he just vanished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you take a look at who Miami has now, even they lost. So they lost LeBron. We know that. But if you look at the contracts that Miami's picked up, they got Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. They picked up Luol Deng, which I think is
that's a great pick.
Great pickup. Get some boards. Guy can do it all. Josh McRoberts, another tough player. Chris Anderson re-signed. Chalmers, of course, is going back. You got Danny Granger, which was another great signing.
That's a great pickup.
James Ennis, and now you got Haslam. So overall, I think the team is there. It's going to look nice. And now, of course, you got Shabazz Napier.
Yeah.
So I think Miami actually has some talent there. I mean, LeBron was that core guy. He took the ball most of the time. But now Wade and Bosch has to step up. But they got Luol Deng. I think Miami's still going to be a threat,
In the East. And Granger, he was a starter before. You know, let him get healthy and see what happens. You know what I mean? I can't wait to see that matchup when the Heat plays the Cavs.
Oh,
you know, you're going to have that Granger-LeBron rival again. And on top of that, just the Heat playing the Cavs is going to be the big name.
Yep. I can see Shabazz Napier sitting here and said, all right, you know, LeBron left, okay, but I can drive and dish and give it to Wade or Bosch. I mean, now, to me, Miami actually has a point guard that can drive and dish. I mean, I know Chalmers and you got Norris Cole that were those two guys, but they weren't the threat to always take it to the basket. Now, with Napier, you got that threat a little bit. I know he's struggling a little bit in the summer league, but of course, it's all about development. You can't just get a guy and say, you know, a late first-round pick and say, all right, he's definitely a starter, let's go, and all of a sudden he becomes that star for you. It's going to take some time. But Miami, though, with that team, just with that lineup, I think they can do pretty well. If they can pick up maybe that one more big man down low, get somebody down there, I think they can compete. It's going to be very interesting.
Oh, for sure. I still do think that they are a playoff team, even with that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I can't wait for the matchup if Cleveland plays Miami next year. Because
it's going to happen. I'm telling you, they're going to make that happen one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's going to happen for sure.
And we don't want to see it in Cleveland. We want to see it in Miami and see what everyone does.
Yeah. And we'll see how the Miami fans treat LeBron when he walks out on the court.
Oh, yeah.
Most likely. Is he going to get booed or they're going to cheer for him again, you think?
I think he'll get a little standing O.
And then during the game, probably get booed. Like, you know, that's how it works, I guess. You know, in football, it works like that.
Yeah, you know, he's the best player right now in the NBA. So it's like, yeah, he made the decision to come to Miami. So it's like, you know what? We're going to give him some applause. But yes, he decided to leave. But I think now since he's back in Cleveland, everybody is a little, you know, their hearts are out a little bit now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, we don't hate him as much.
Not anymore.
He's back where he's supposed to be. But the thing is, he shouldn't have left in the first place.
Yeah, and you know, like, I said this before, too. I don't know who I said it to. But he left, obviously, to win a ring. And I think it was those commercials that were getting to him. Those Kobe Bryant, LeBron Dawg commercials with Kobe asking him to hold his rings and yada, yada, yada. And I think that's what made him go, you know. And now that he's got it and is going back home now, you know, now they got all these memes, you know, like with him and Kobe still saying, you know, with the caption on LeBron's picture saying, I'm coming home. And then on Kobe's picture, it says, I never left.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think it's always going to be that little rivalry until Kobe hangs up his cleats, you know what I mean? Or his shoes, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's LeBron with the media and stuff, I understand, you know, you got to get your head out of there, get your head out of the media, play the game, you know, and let the media do its thing, which we know it's going to start comparing and everything. But, you know, that was the same thing with Jordan. I mean, everyone did a lot of comparisons with him, but didn't let him.
It didn't distract him. Yeah, he did what he did.
He went out there and played the game. So, you know, LeBron's got to continue doing that. Don't let the media distract him from making decisions of where he wants to go. I mean, at least this time, though, you know, he made a decision. I know there was an article that was published as soon as he made his decision, but at least he didn't go to, you know, the media and sit down in a chair and say, hey, I'm taking my talents back to my home.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I think it's good that he did it now, going back home. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if he would have really went to L.A. or another, you know, contender team and won there, and then, like, all of a sudden he's like, he wants to go home later, you know, years from now. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, well, because he won those rings already. Now he wants to just come home. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's good to have all, like, let these people say that now, because then it would die out. Mm-hmm. Then for it to occurred then, and then keeps going, and then if, you know, he retires, he sits there and, like, can't believe they said, you know what I mean, like, stuff like that.
Exactly, you know, and even with LeBron, you know, everyone's sitting there, oh man, he only signed a 2-year contract, what does that mean?
Yeah,
is he gonna leave again? I don't think he's gonna leave.
He's gonna stay.
He came back to Cleveland for a reason. Hometown,
his home. He wants to win one for them.
Yeah, and he's thinking, I know it's early, but, you know, he's thinking end of career as well, where I can finish up my career in Cleveland here, help the city out, and then when I retire, you know, I'll be living nicely in Cleveland.
For sure. Exactly. And it's home. He wants his kids to be there.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Now, did you hear about this Eric Bledsoe news lately?
The only thing I've seen was, or read, was that him and his sons are far apart from getting a deal done.
Yes, yes. And again, as a Suns fan, you know, you sat there and you said, hey, we need to sign him quick. But you know what? Lately, when the Suns went out and got Isaiah Thomas for $27 million, I mean, that, man, it was a steal to get Isaiah Thomas. So they got their backup point guard now for Dragic. With Isaiah. And Isaiah, I really love Isaiah. Him and Cousins and Rudy Gay, man, they did a very good job in Sacramento. So it was a steal to get him. It was cheap, very cheap, which was great. But Bledsoe, man, he wants some, of course, max contract. He wants that money. So the Suns offered him a 4-year contract of $48 million. Okay, $48 million. So if we think about it, it's about $12 million a year. Right? But you know what Bledsoe wants? He wants a 5-year, $80 million deal.
Oh, right.
$80 million deal he wants. And this is a guy that averaged 17 points a game, 5 assists a game, and 4 rebounds a game. But this was last season.
Yeah.
So.
And he got injured, so nobody's willing to pay that right now.
Right. And I think the Suns are doing a very smart thing now, because now since they went out and got Isaiah Thomas, Bledsoe wants that max contract, so he's not an unrestricted free agent. He's actually a restricted free agent.
Right.
So that means he can go out there and see what kind of contracts that he's willing to get, but the Suns can match it if they want to. So this is a perfect move by the Suns to say, all right, Bledsoe, go out there, see what team wants you right now. If no one wants you, then now we can go cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, the Suns, for sure, won't put themselves in a hole like Houston did. You know? That's going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
and that was the worry in the beginning, as we stated in the previous podcast, where the Suns need to go out and get Bledsoe now. But the thing is, they were already in talks with Sacramento to go out and get Isaiah Thomas, which was a very great, a very good pickup.
It's
very good. I'm really happy about that. And how TJ Warren's been playing in the summer league, he's been playing pretty good. Now, I know it's summer league. I know they're not playing against really anybody, The guy yet has yet to make a three-pointer in the summer league. He's only shot three of them, but the guy can create and take it to the hole, which is very nice. But then, as we stated in previous podcasts too, as I talked about Adrian Payne, you know, if you watch Adrian Payne right now, the guy is drilling threes all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's hitting threes. He's a great stretch four. He's taking it to the hole, getting rebounds. I mean, it's going to be one of those I'm sitting scratching my head here and there before the season. But, of course, when the season starts, then you'll see the true colors of these players.
Yeah.
Because now they're playing against top players instead of summer league, you know, D-League guys. Guys yeah. are trying to make the team. So, TJ Warren, though, I'm happy how he's playing. But it's going to be very interesting once the season starts. So, to get Bledsoe, I don't know right now, especially with the Isaiah – the yeah. Isaiah trade.
And I think that Isaiah Thomas' son was making a statement, too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Letting Bledsoe know, like, hey, what you want to do.
Yep, exactly. All right, and also in other news, we had the Lakers go get Carlos Boozer for cheap. Cheap. I wonder how Boozer feels after that.
Yeah, you know?
So, I mean, this is gonna be great, though, for the Lakers. I mean, yes, Boozer didn't do that much
last year
in Chicago. I know Taj Gibson, he stepped up for Chicago. He looked very good for them. And that's why Chicago made that decision. And the Lakers went out and said, you know what? We need a big guy down low.
Especially since Gasol's gone.
Yeah. So I think this is a great move. I mean, with Boozer can definitely help out Julius Randle here going forward, too.
Yeah. Take him under his wing, show him the ropes.
Yeah, yeah. And when we say cheap, we mean $3.25 million cheap.
Yeah.
And that's a veteran player like Boozer, a guy that averaged about 14 points a game and 8 rebounds a game. That was his worst since 2002, 2003, which, I mean, that's at least something, right? almost a double-double. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's a huge upgrade for the Lakers. I know he's getting older, but, I mean, from what the Lakers had, nobody to now at least a threat down low, I think it's a very good pickup. So the Lakers are making some right moves, and Kobe even came out and said, hey, man, I'm 100% happy of what the Lakers have been doing in the free agency. So when you hear your star player come out and say that, man, that's...
Keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
If you could get him for cheap. And the good thing about that, I think, you know, because of last year, how Boozer is playing, he's going to want to come out this year with a bounce back year, mm-hmm. you know, and just go at it. And probably want to get a bigger contract after that.
Most definitely. Yeah. I can see Boozer in the starting lineup right away.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Yeah. With him, you can see Julius Randle in there, too. I know, you know, everyone says maybe keep him on the bench for now, but I start the guy, Julius Randle. I mean, he's
let dying. Him get his experience, you know.
Yeah,
especially
with Kobe.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
And just in case if they do make it to the playoffs, make it into the playoffs, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He already has the vibe of the game. You know, the game might be too fast for him mm-hmm. in the beginning, but then the more he plays, he'll pick up and catch up on it.
Yeah, and now he's going to a more offensive team. I mean, with Chicago, it wasn't really an offensive team. It was more defensive-driven. And plus, Chicago just couldn't shoot the ball with Rose out at that time. But now he's going to the Lakers that actually could score the ball with Kobe and now himself and Young. I mean, they got – I think they're going to do pretty decent. I don't think they're there yet.
No.
But, you know, they're going to do well. They'll do well.
Too many strong teams in the West right now for the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, like we just said with Dallas Mavericks, yeah. and San Antonio, and
OKC.
Oh, man. The West is just stacked. The East actually made some moves finally to get maybe 3-4 teams that are
competitive.
Competitive, yes. And I don't know, it'll grow, but the West, yeah, man, that's another story. So, we all know it was a slow week, and baseball here just started back up on Friday. But I think the key was of course, the All-Star game, but also the ESPYs. I know a lot of us go out there and want to watch the ESPYs, see who gets the Jimmy V Award. I mean, I think that the Jimmy V Award is by far the best award, hands down, in any entertainment industry.
For sure.
And, I mean, Jimmy V's speech in 1993, which is fantastic. And ESPN's anchor, Stuart Scott, received that award, and this is what he had to say.
When you die, it does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
So, man, that was very touching. Very touching. I mean, it's one of those things when you know a person is going through something in life, and when they talk about family and support, you know, it's not about themselves. And that's the thing. They were hurting. And Stuart Scott here, you know, he had cancer. And
for 7 years.
7 years.
And he's still doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
You see the video, he's boxing, still doing his anchor, traveling, being at his daughter's games.
That's the thing, you know, it's all about family, and it shows that. You know, every time you see that, especially with this award, you know, when people are sick, we all, you know, probably experience somebody in our family.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
You know, that have been sick with something. I mean, mainly cancer is that number one hurt. But when you hear that or see that, you know, you come running to your family. That's how it is. And you know it's not about yourself.
Nope. Not even with all your success, you know? It's 'cause when I was watching the video, man, and just the speech itself, man, my eyes got watery, you know? I've experienced it. I mean, I don't have cancer, but my grandpa did. And the stuff he was saying about his girlfriend slept in an uncomfortable spot while he was, you know, in the hospital. I experienced that, man. Just putting two chairs together, trying to make it a bed, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough, you know, and you just gotta... And you're just sitting there while that person's fighting for cancer, while that person's sleeping, you're just looking and memory just running down your mind, you know?
Yeah, and that's...
And it's tough.
And that's who you know is there for you, man. And, you know, it's... If you have your family coming out, you know, they care for you. You know, they all care for you. You find your true friends.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah.
During times like that. And your true family members at that time.
Yeah. I mean, you know people care about you, but you don't know how much until you're sick.
Yeah. And that, you know, every time you see things like this, you know, you go, you know, life is unpredictable. Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, God's got a plan for you. You know, just go out there and continue trying to strive and trying to achieve. But if something hits you, like what happened with Stuart Scott, you don't let it stop you.
Yeah.
You keep going. You keep fighting. And, you know, Stuart Scott in his speech, is you heard, you know, he kept fighting. He kept fighting.
And the message was to just live.
Just live.
Just live.
That's right.
That was beautiful, man. It was beautiful.
Very beautiful. So now we're going to go into a little bit of the British Open here. This is a great segue, of course, to our sports picks coming up here. But the British Open, man, Rory McIlroy has been dominating. I mean, he fell off.
He's killing. He's killing.
he's been falling off here, but then lately he found his swing. He is on, and the guy is winning by 6 strokes going into the final round. And it looks like he's going to win the meet.
that's for sure.
How
he's in a good situation right now.
Exactly. And you know, some of the things that you see from him, I mean, especially with me, you know, I'll play golf, of course, here and there. And when you see guys pull out a 5-iron and hit it 239 yards, it's one of those, you scratch your head and you go, how in the world do they do that? It's ridiculous. You know, me, I pull out my 5-iron, and it's like, dribble. It's like, oh, what was that? Yeah. Oh, 170, 160? Oh, okay, that's all right.
Yeah, I know, I never tried golf yet, but I'll probably be dribble dribble too.
Yeah, you know, it's good to see Rory pick it up and win. Possibly win here in the next round. But there's a funny story about his father, Jerry McIlroy. There was a 10-year-old bet that his dad made when Rory was 15 years old. And his dad made this bet with four friends.
Four?
Four friends.
Wow.
And they said, you know what? Rory's 15 right now, but when he's 25 years old, within 10 years, I think he will win the British Open. So what does his dad do? Put money on it. Put money on it. And to figure out how much money his dad put on it, him and the three friends, they put 400 British pounds. That's 100 each. Right? And so that would be about $170 for US dollars. And that was when he was 15 years old. Well, guess what? Rory right now is 25 years old, 2 months and 16 days, to be exact. And the wager's still good until he turns 26, right? So they made this legal bet. I know they say legal, right? So they made this legal bet. So if Rory comes out and wins tomorrow, that means his dad and the three friends, they would collect 200,000 pounds, which is equivalent to 341,730 US dollars.
Wow.
I mean,
that is great money.
I mean, when the kid was 15, I mean, man, you got to be pretty confident to go out there and say, you know what? I'm going to go out there and put 170 bucks
on
my son to say he's going to go out there and win the British Open in 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, to say that, I mean, to have that much confidence to know your kid's going to go out there and go pro and then even be one of the best players in the world is saying something.
Yeah, big time. You know what I mean? He probably taught him.
Rory won his first major when he was 22 years old at the U.S. Open. So I'm sure his dad, when he was sitting there watching him at 22, he's like, oh, I got a chance. You know, guys, we got a chance to make the money.
Yeah.
He's got three more years. Let's go.
Just believe in me. Yeah. Prediction.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the one thing I'm going to think about is when I wake up in the morning and I see if Rory wins, it's like, man, his dad is sitting there celebrating right now. He's like, you know what, son? Let's go out, have a beer, have a cold one.
Exactly.
But you already know the parents are probably getting some good money already because Rory's dominating.
Yeah.
In the British. So it's good to see. It's one of those stories and one of those segues into our picks here that, you know, it's one of those. You just got to have confidence in your pick and take it and hope it can win you some money.
Yeah. Don't ever second guess your picks because it could really mess you up.
That and also don't watch the games.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because once you start losing, you're going to feel like you wasted your whole 2 hours on that watching that game.
Exactly.
You know, and you're just going to get pissed off right after.
Exactly. It's one of those things, too. You make a bet, and you're like, oh, okay, I think they're going to win. And then you don't watch the game, and then you get an update on your phone or somewhere, and you say, all right, you know what? I won that game. Cool. Let's move on.
You can have another drink.
Yeah, have another drink. But then when it gets important, and you put a good money bet on a game, then you're staring at your phone, looking at your iPad, trying to find the game on TV.
Yeah.
Say, all right, I got to watch this. But always jinx yourself, right? You watch the game and something happens. Like, oh my gosh, why did I do this?
Yeah. Dude, it happens a lot.
All the time. My parents probably know that even my fiance, you know, I say, hey, guess what? My betting streak right now is at 8. And then they laugh at me, and then I lose.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part, man. When you're on a roll like that in the street, trying to win that money, and then take that one loss, and you just, It hurts, bro.
It hurts. Yes, it does.
You know, I want to reach that 100,000.
Exactly. You know, right now, so, you know, for all of you out there, Jesse and I, we do this Beat the Streak on covers.com. I know Jesse has other sites.
Yeah, right? Like Bookmaker.
And he goes on. But there's a $100,000 winning. It's free. But you have to get to 25 in a row. And my goodness, is that's impossible.
Yeah, it's really hard to do. And it hurts, like I said, you know, when you get up there and 8 in a row, 10 in a row or something. I mean, I've seen they have a leading board on the webpage and people are like in the 18th street, on their 18th street. Yeah. They're just like right there, you know, and you'll lose because of that one game. And you're starting all the way back at zero. And it's like,
and that's
it makes you feel like you lost $100,000 when you're really playing for free to get it.
Exactly, and you feel for that person too. It's not you, but you feel for that guy. It's like, oh man, I know that feeling. You went 18, let's say 18 in a row. That could be 18 days. That could be a month, depending on how often you pick.
Yeah, and you don't have to pick every day. I think they give you like a 7-day gap.
Yeah, I think it's a week.
A week.
Yeah.
And then if you don't pick within a week, your streak will go back to zero, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. It's they get to 18, you go, man, that guy picked. Could have been a month. And then the next thing you know, bam, down to zero, start over again. And just one of those, like, oh, crap. But you see the message boards and everything out there, you know, it's like, this is impossible. Yeah. And it really is. It really isn't. No one has ever won it. So
I think you have to be really disciplined there. You know, like, if you're not feeling any of the games that day, don't take the chance on it. You know? Don't let your ego get to you. Like, you know what? I'm going to pick this game because the expert picked that game. Don't do none of that. Just stay away. Go get yourself a beer. Just leave everything alone and just come back tomorrow. Or look at tomorrow's game. Look at the lineup. And if you feel confident about that game tomorrow, wait till tomorrow.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing about these websites, too. They'll choose the games for you. So it's not like, you know, you go out there and you say, oh, this team is definitely going to win because they're favored by so much. Right.
Right.
So they're going to pick all the close games, but then there's always that game or two that's out there. They go, oh, this team will definitely win, but it's a trap game.
Yeah. And it will get you.
And you don't know. You sit there and you go, oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But then the game starts, and after, you know, a couple minutes, like, oh, crap. Well, looks like we're starting over.
Yeah, back at zero. And they only give you certain games to pick from.
Yes.
So, you know, you might be looking at these two teams playing, you like the matchup, but when you go sign up for your streak and that game's not available on there and you gotta go somewhere else. Yeah. I mean, you gotta go to another game pretty much.
Yep. It's tough. It's tough. And that's why we do the picks. We do it for fun, you know. If we're in Vegas, I know, well, we're out here in Arizona. We're not supposed to be doing this, but we're out here in Arizona. So, you know, we can't do the sports betting unless we go to Vegas. Or Laughlin, you know, to make those bets. You know, so we just want to see how we do. If we really, you know, go out there and we did say, hey, let's go bet, you know, how would we do? And lately, you know, the last, let's say, 3 days of Major League Baseball, our picks have been we're 9-3 in our picks. And that's saying something. That's good winnings right there. And the three games that were lost were at the end.
Yeah.
And that was with good pitchers. That's always the hardest.
Yeah. Especially you lose by that half point.
Oh.
You know, like,
and you'll hear from Jesse on our sports, actually on our Facebook page, that always bet the extra half.
Yeah. Buy that half. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'd rather take a push than an L any day.
Most definitely. So that's a good transition into our sports picks here. So today is July 19th, which is a Saturday. So there's some late evening baseball games that are on. You might have, if you check out our Facebook page at Nothing But Sports, you'll notice that every day we try to put our picks of the day on there. And lately, it hasn't been just one. It's been multiple, just to give you guys a little bit more variety.
Yeah.
But today, of course, a lot of the games that, of course, what I looked at, I didn't like any of them. Yeah. And there's a lot of games going on, but didn't like any of them because the pitchers aren't – they're not the number one pitchers right now going on.
Yeah.
And so they're pretty even. So, but there's one game that stood out to me that we put on our page was the Colorado Rockies at the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Pittsburgh has been playing great as of late. They've been winning pretty decent here at home, but they played teams their last 10 games. They've been playing, you know, teams like St. Louis and Cincinnati and Philly, which have been stepping it up. But Colorado has just been dreadful. During the year, Colorado's 40-56 is their overall record, and Pittsburgh, they're four games over 500, so they're 50-46. Especially Pittsburgh at home, I take that bet. I take that bet for them. So, as for the starters, we got Brett Anderson pitching for Colorado, and man, this guy's he has a 4.95 ERA. He's 0-3 with the team, but Pittsburgh has Charlie Morton going on to the mound, which Charlie hasn't been doing the greatest. But in his last three games, he's been pitching spot on. The guy has pitched 19 innings, only allowed 12 hits, and his ERA is 2.84 in the last three. And that's saying something. With Brett Anderson in Colorado, his last three, his ERA is 5.14. So with that pitching matchup, it definitely favors Pittsburgh. And if you think about the batting lineup as well, I mean, it's the same thing. The Rockies, man, they can hit the ball. But if their pitching is horrible, it's just like what I first think of when I think of the Diamondbacks as well, too. The pitching isn't good, but the bats, they can hit the ball. That's the Rockies. The Rockies, they have the bats, they just can't pitch. And the average ERA for the Rockies starters is 5+. 5+, which is crazy. And for the Pirates, it's in the threes, which is very nice. But as of relievers go, too, Pittsburgh definitely wins that one with a 3+ ERA, where Colorado is 4+ ERA. So just looking at those stats and just knowing how Pittsburgh plays, man, especially at home with Mr. Clutch, man, I see Pittsburgh winning this game. I don't see him destroying Colorado. I see it pretty close. I do see them winning by two plus runs though. I don't see them winning by one. I see them two plus. So if there's a Pittsburgh -1.5, go ahead and choose that. That's what I would select. But yeah, if you want to play it safe, you can just go money line
straight up
and make that money.
And in baseball, you don't have the choice between the half points. You can't buy them. You just got to take them.
That's right. With baseball, whoever wins, unless you choose a spread, which is always 1.5 points.
Yeah.
So if you're confident that team's gonna win by 2+ runs, go with that. But if you know you just want to get a win, you know that team's gonna win, just play it safe. Use the money line.
Yeah. Don't get too greedy. Go with that. Don't get too greedy.
Exactly. So, but, you know, some of the trends, though, I mean, if we look at this with Colorado, man, they're 8-24 in their last 32 games as an underdog. And they're definitely an underdog in this game against Pittsburgh. So that's another good reason why I would choose the Pirates here.
I'm going to take my bed now.
So while we're talking, Jesse's over here. As we're explaining, go, ooh, let's pick that bet. Let's make
it. Just checking out some parlays.
Exactly. So I would say, you know, that wraps it up here at the Nothing But Sports podcast for this afternoon and Saturday. Feel free to hit us up on Facebook, on Instagram. We have our own separate profile, so feel free to look up Jesse and I and become our friend.
Yeah.
And go from there. And, you know, we're willing to provide more picks. Of course, any feedback that you have for all of us, we appreciate all the feedback that's been coming in
so far
about our our podcast. We got one response about our intro music. We didn't do any today. We're gonna be looking into that to see what we can do. But also we provided some stats, which was another request. So we provided that. But we're always looking to improve. Continue the feedback, and we will talk to you again next week.
See ya.